Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text 62. Bhavad Vaitam Kriyad Vaitam Dravya Vaitam Tatatmanaha Vartayan Svanu Bhute Iha Trin Swapnan Dunute Muni Bhava Advaitam. Oneness in one's conception of life. Kriya Advaitam. Oneness in activities. Dravya Advaitam. Oneness in different paraphernalia. Tata, as well as Atmanaha, of the soul. Vartayan, considering. Swa, one's own. Anubhutya, going to realization. Iha, in this material world. Trin, the three. Swapnan, living conditions. Wakefulness, dreaming, and sleep. Dunute, gives up. Muni, the philosopher or speculator. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After considering the oneness of existence, activity, and paraphernalia, and after realizing the self to be different from all actions and reactions, the mental speculator Muni, according to his own realization, gives up the three states of wakefulness, dreaming, and sleep. Purport. The three words Bhavad Vaita, Kriyad Vaita, and Dravyavaita are explained in the following verses. However, one has to give up all the non-duality of philosophical life in the material world and come to the actual life of reality in the spiritual world in order to attain perfection. So, text 63. When one understands that results and cause are one and the same, one and that duality is ultimately unreal, like the idea that threads of a cloth are different from the cloth itself, one reaches the conception of oneness called Bhavad Vaita. My dear King Yudhisthira Partha, when all the activities one performs with his mind, words, and body are dedicated directly to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one reaches oneness of activities called Kriyadvaita. Purport, the Krishna Consciousness Movement is teaching people how to come to the stage of dedicating everything to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9:27, Yat karoshi yarashnasi yajdahosi didasi yat yat tapasasi kondeya tat kurushva manarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. If whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we think, and whatever we plan is for the advancement of the Krishna consciousness movement, that this is oneness. There is no difference between chanting for Krishna consciousness and working for Krishna consciousness. On the transcendental platform, they are one. But we must be guided by the spiritual master about this oneness, which does not manufacture our own oneness. 65. When the ultimate goal and interests of oneself, one's wife, one's children, one's relatives, and all other embodied living beings is one, this is called Dravya Vaita, or oneness of interest. The actual interest of all living entities, indeed the goal of life, is to return home back to Godhead. It is the interest of oneself, one's wife, one's children, one's disciples, and one's friends, relatives, countrymen, and all humanity. The Krishna consciousness movement can give directions for management by which everyone can partake in Krishna consciousness activities and reach the ultimate goal, which is known as Swargatim. This objective of everyone's interest is Vishnu, but because people do not know this, ite vidu swartagatim hi Vishnu, they are making various plans by which to fulfill so many concocted interests in life. The Krishna consciousness movement is trying to bring everyone to the highest interest. The process may be differently named, but if the aim is one, people should follow it and achieve the ultimate goal in life. Unfortunately, people are thinking, of different interests, and blind leaders are misleading them. Everyone is trying to reach the goal of complete happiness materially. Because people do not know what complete happiness is, they are materially diverted towards different interests. In these verses, it talks about oneness of interest. Oneness of interest in one's understanding that everything is non-different from Krishna. That, as it says in Bhagavad Gita, gata sangasya muktasya jnanavasita chetasaha ejacharata karma samagram pravilayate. The work of a man who is unattached to the modes of material nature and is fully situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. So what we're trying to change is we're trying to change our consciousness from thinking that there's something separate from Krishna into understanding how everyone and everything is related to Krishna. And therefore the process is called utilizing whatever we have and utilizing that in Krishna's service. Then, Brahmarpanam Brahmahayvir Brahmagno Brahmahutam Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. The work of a man, a person is sure to achieve the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, which the consummation is absolute and the things that are offered is of the same spiritual nature. In other words, when we take something and we use it for our sense gratification, then that's what we'll see. We'll experience our sense gratification. Sense gratification meaning, what we'll see is we'll identify ourselves with these gross and subtle bodies, and we'll think that the gratification of the tongue, the belly, the genitals, mind, anger, words, etc., that this is actually happiness. And when we utilize that same object, and we utilize it in Krishna service, then the result is that it'll help us remember Krishna. And in the remembrance of Krishna, just like yanena tutad agyanam, Gyanena tutad agyanam, yesham atmana nashanam atmanaha, tesham aditiva jnanam, prakashiti tatparam. When, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. In other words, if Krishna is there, Krishna is jnanam, gayam, ganam, gamyam, riddhi, sarvastra, vishtitam. He's the light in all luminous knowledge. He's beyond the darkness of matter. He is knowledge. He's the object of knowledge. And he's the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart. So if Krishna is there, then everything becomes enlightened. We become enlightened. And in that enlightenment, we can actually see how everyone and everything is simultaneously one but different from Krishna. and that ultimately everything is moving under Krishna's direction. And therefore, there's what's called bhava-dvaita. One doesn't see anything as apart from Krishna. Just like when Ambarish Maharaj took a little water after fasting on Ekadasi, and Durvasa Muni took that as an offense against him and plucked out of his hair a fiery demon to go and kill Ambarish Maharaj. But Ambarish Maharaj didn't see any duality. He didn't think something was separate from Krishna or from Krishna's desire. Although he was crying, but he wasn't crying out of fear, he was crying out of ecstasy, because when he saw the fiery demon coming to kill him, he concentrated his mind even more upon Krishna. And Krishna reciprocated by sending his Sudarsan Chakra. Similarly, when Bharat Maharaj, in the form of Jad Bharat, was going to be sacrificed in front of Durga Devi, he was not at all disturbed, although Durga Devi was disturbed, and she and her associates, witches, they came and killed the dacoits. Matter of fact, they cut off their heads and they played with them, just like they were playing with balls, and they drunk their blood. Durga is a vegetarian, so she didn't do that, but her friends are not so sattvic. In any case, Jad Bharat was undisturbed, even in this very difficult circumstance, not because he had practiced simply tolerance, but because he understood nothing happens without the will of Krishna. And whatever Krishna does is absolutely good. So that's the mentality we have to come to. Not just it's all right, Krishna was asleep, it was Chaturmasya, Krishna was asleep, so somehow or another it happened. And ultimately it'll turn out to be good. But at every moment, everything is as absolutely good as Krishna is absolutely good. Only in that state can one become fearless and satisfied. If we think that there's something good, there's something better, there's something worse, this is all mental platform. Actually, there's nothing good in the material world. It's all bad. It's bad because it blocks us from the all good. Just like the sun is bright and shiny, anything that blocks the sun is going to be darkness. Similarly, the material world is just a block over our eyes of our concerning our relationship with Krishna. Therefore, it's all bad. Because Krishna is all good, anything that blocks us from the all good must be bad. We may say something is better than something else, but this is all mental concoction, because it's all bad. Anything that doesn't help us remember Krishna ultimately is bad. But relatively, there's some things that will help, perhaps in the future, give us the understanding that without Krishna, everything is bad. So that's better, performing activities in the mode of goodness than in the mode of passion or ignorance. Because in the mode of passion or ignorance, then one has no conception of Krishna or any clear conception of Krishna. But at least in the mode of goodness, if one acts in the mode of goodness, one may be elevated to the platform, one can understand the desirability of becoming conscious of Krishna. And here it mentions about the Kriya Advaita, that all activities one performs with his mind, body, and words are dedicated directly to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one reaches the activities called Kriya Advaita. So again, as always, we are always starting with, first of all, accepting everything belongs to Krishna. Everything becomes from Krishna. Everything is controlled by Krishna. And therefore, one should not be disturbed. That's called patience. Out of mental concoction, we're thinking, things are bad now, and perhaps in the future, tomorrow they'll be better. Sure, tomorrow they may be better relatively to today, for our sense gratification. But the day after that, it may be 100 times worse than today. So this expecting some peaceful, happy situation in the material world, apart from Krishna consciousness, is called illusion. To understand the oneness of material existence, that's called knowledge. Oneness in the sense that there's nothing good and nothing bad, and therefore there's no reason to look forward to something or to lament about something in the past. It's all meant to help us become Krishna conscious. So in one, that sense, it's all good, but because of our reluctance to become Krishna conscious, therefore everything we were doing was bad. Unless we were doing something to try to become Krishna conscious, and that was all good. But that means there's activities. There is a vision we're trying to get, how everything belongs to Krishna, everything is controlled by Krishna, but then that's called, if we have that vision, that's called patience. Then there's nothing to hanker for, because we can never gain anything here. And nor is there anything to lament about, because we never lost anything. We can't lose something we never had. We never had anything, we can't lose anything. But because we're thinking with this body, we're afraid of losing it, but it's not our body. Nor are we in control of it. It's disappearing right before our eyes. And only out of attachment do we think it's our body and that we're going to lose it, but we never had it to begin with. We never had control of it. We can desire, and Krishna can arrange to fulfill our desires, but we're not independent controllers. We're simply participants in the material energy. Now, that's one side of desire, to not hanker and lament for things. But the other thing is to desire to that Krishna's will may be done. If we desire against Krishna's will, then we're put into illusion. And we desire that may this body, mind, and words be used as an instrument for Krishna, then that becomes a desire that will liberate us. And then Krishna fulfills that desire by using his body, mind, and words in his service. That's called Kriya Dvaita. That ultimately, utilizing this body in Krishna's service is in our interest, as well as Krishna's interest, and everyone's interest. And to not utilize this body, mind, and words in Krishna's service is in no one's interest. So when we have come to that platform, it's called confidence. That we now not only accept the fact that everything is Krishna's, but everything should be meant to please Krishna under the guidance of his representatives. And then, of course, the last is to do whatever we're doing with the attitude of trying to please Krishna. It's not enough to not steal from Krishna or to utilize things in Krishna's service, but the most important factor is to do it to please Krishna. So that's called, here is Dravya Dvaita, the ultimate goal and interest of oneself. Wife, children, relatives is one. That is to please Krishna. So this is the called Sambandha, Abhedeya, and Prayojana. Whether we call it Bhava Dvaita, or we call it Kriya Dvaita, or we call it Dravya Dvaita, it's the same thing. Sambandha, Abhedeya, and Prayojana. Knowing things as they are, doing things as we're supposed to do in devotional service, and doing it to please Krishna out of love with enthusiasm. Then one actually comes to the goal of life. One is actually fulfilling one's real interest. But in the absence of any one of these things, we'll be misdirected. If we don't understand the fundamental principles, then we won't be inclined to utilize our assets in Krishna's service. And if we don't utilize our assets in Krishna's service, then there's no question of trying to please Krishna, because we won't even remember Krishna. As soon as we think ourselves to be the proprietors and the enjoyers of material nature, then our intelligence, our spiritual intelligence, is taken away. It's replaced with material intelligence. People may imagine they're very intelligent because they're accumulated resources in material nature, or they think they're controlling them, but this is less intelligent because they don't see things as they are. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ukramantam sitim vapi bunjana vagunanvita vimudo nanupashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. So unless our eyes are trained, we don't see what's going on here. And if we don't see what's going on here, how will we know what to do? And if we don't know what to do, how will we do anything for Krishna to please him? So unless we accept Krishna's existence, Krishna's proprietorship, Krishna is the doer and controller of everything, unless we accept the goal of life is to please Krishna and revive our relationship with Krishna, then everything we do to one degree or another is going to be misdirected. No matter how we must think that we're making progress, but we're not making any real progress. We're simply punak punas charvita charvanana, simply chewing the chewed. We think this belongs to me, it's meant for my sense gratification, and when my senses are gratified, I'll become happy. This is called illusion. We think everything belongs to Krishna, it's meant for Krishna's service, and it's meant to please Krishna for his doing it for his mission, that's called Krishna consciousness. And that's all there is in this universe. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Hare Krishna, we have another question from Avadhuta Rai.
Yes.
Hare Krishna, one who sees dualities in the material existence lives in illusion, okay? Now, Madhyama Adhikar is supposed to differentiate demons from innocent people. Is that also illusion to see such a duality?
Well, illusion doesn't exist. Illusion means we think something to be what we think is existing, but it doesn't exist as we think it is. So there are demons, there are innocent people, there are devotees, and there is Krishna. So to see that, that's real.
We have another question.
But we have to understand that the Mahabhagavat, he sees Krishna in the heart of all the living entities. So that's the deeper reality. The modes of material nature are such, some people, they're against Krishna, they hate Krishna, they're envious, like Kamsa or Hiranyakashipu. Others are, they don't know about Krishna. They might even become devotees if they're informed. Others, they know about Krishna and they're trying to become Krishna conscious, and some are actually Krishna conscious. So these are real designations, but there's a deeper understanding that whether you're a demon, you're a devotee, or aspiring devotee, whether you're an innocent person, or you're whatever, still you're a soul. So that's the ultimate reality, that everyone is a soul, but the fact that they're covered by illusion, and to different degrees, or free from illusion, that's also reality.
Okay, and another comment and a question. Sarva Kalau Idam Brahma quotes Srila Prabhupada as the bona fide Vedic mantra, everything is Brahman. Does that mean that ultimately the material elements are also spiritual?
Yes, there's no material elements. It's our conception that there's material elements. But that conception is brought about by Krishna's energy, which is also called Maya, which is also real. So the real energy called Maya puts the soul into an unreal state of consciousness where he doesn't perceive things properly. But ultimately everything, because it comes from Krishna, is all is spiritual, like Krishna is spiritual.
Thank you.
And when everything is utilized in Krishna's service, then to the extent it's utilized, then it becomes, we can perceive its spiritual nature. And our consciousness becomes spiritualized by contact with Krishna. Just like an iron put into the fire, it becomes hotter and hotter and hotter. So the iron is real, the fire is real. The fact that the iron is outside of the fire means it's not going to be hot. So similarly, when our consciousness is outside of Krishna, it becomes dulled by the material elements we come in contact with, including the material intelligence, mind, and false ego. Just like the clouds block the sun, but the clouds are a product of the sun's energy. The sun dries up evaporates water from the ocean and forms clouds. So the clouds are nothing but a different energy of the sun, but those clouds block our energy, so we don't see things properly.
There's this joke about two quantum physicists, and one looks really bewildered, and the other one says, "Hey, what's the matter?" And the other one says, "Exactly." Like, what's the matter?
What's the matter? Yes. Oh, the microphone. Anger?
Yes.
Anger is one of Krishna's energies. What's that?
What's not real? What is unreal?
Unreal is what our conception of things are. Well, I mean, just like the horn of a unicorn doesn't exist. So that's unreal. But for instance, when they say the world is unreal, the world is real, but it's temporary. So our thinking that it's eternal, this material energy, that it's what the present situation is going to go on forever, that's unreal. But there's material energy. Just like if you, in the darkness, if you see a rope, you think it's a snake, that's unreal. But the fact that there is a rope, that's real. But the fact that you think it's a snake is unreal. Anything else? Hala, Krandarai, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.